Well, thanks very much. Good afternoon. I couldn't help smiling when you mentioned my private interest. I also list on my private interest Geelong Football Club, and look what happened. A bit like the Superfund performance at the present time. I come from Tasmania, so I don't list anything, absolutely any interest in rugby, any way, shape or form whatsoever. It's a pleasure to join you here this afternoon and take the opportunity to engage with the Committee for Economic Development of Australia, members on the very important issue of corporate social responsibility and sustainability. And for nearly 50 years now, CEDA has informed, influenced and raised the standard of public policy debate on the current and emerging issues that are shaping Australia's economic and social future. And CSR is a very, very important issue in that context. So through events such as today's, you're assisting in nurturing important connections between business, government, peak bodies, industry and community groups. As you would be no doubt aware, the expectations and demands of business in this 21st century are evolving very rapidly. And there is a growing realisation if we are to overcome the major sustainability challenges we face, business must be part of the solution. I want to give a fairly depressing example, the current financial circumstances and how we've got to the point we have, by way of illustration. We're currently witnessing the unwinding of a credit-driven boom, in which the Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has said greed sometimes drove many to make decisions often not at all in the interests of the wider community. In the United States, we saw mortgage salespeople prey on the aspirations of millions of vulnerable families, soliciting them to take out home loans with hidden fees, ratchet interest rates and confusing repayment terms. Many who participated in that sales pitch said and did anything to make a sale. There was a total lack of any regulation, supervision and disclosure. And the predatory financiers inflated borrowers' income and overstated their ability to pay back a loan. And then in turn the bad loans were financially engineered into elaborate new financial instruments, in a form of pass the parcel, sold on to banks, pension funds and insurance companies as asset-backed securities, offering the illusion of low risk and high yield, and in turn backed by dubious AAA credit ratings, themselves often highly conflicted. Mainstream lenders and analysts' risk models ignored the broader social factors at play, who the loans were going to and who was selling them and why and what was likely to result. And this was driven by corporate governance structures that encouraged short-term paper results over a long-term measurable and sustainable outcome. And of course we know billions, if not trillions by the time the bill is finally added up, was pumped into opaque structures, financial instruments, in search of ever more growth and all the time moving away from a sustainable long-term investment approach. And effectively we've had the largest mis-selling scandal in the financial services sector probably this century. It's hard to think of a larger mis-selling scandal that's occurred anywhere in the world. And these arrangements have collapsed under their own weight, resulting in the world financial crisis we face today. The subprime example reflects not just the fundamental failure of any sort of regulation, supervision and assessment, realistic assessment, but also a fundamental failure of values. And it provides a clear example of the business and social case for CSR. The world financial crisis is not just a corporate issue. The economy is not a private product, but it's a critical piece of social infrastructure. And the Rudd government, I know the Prime Minister is particularly interested in this, is committed to responsible economic management matched with long-term sustainable vision for the nation's future. Effectively, what we saw in the US was an extreme form of short-termism, In Australia, fortunately, this approach has been very, very limited, small, and very much at the fringes of our financial sector. But nevertheless, it's time to address the responsibilities and the long-term values of corporate Australia. Sustainable, responsible businesses are integral to our future prosperity and to our international competitiveness. And briefly, one of the major initiatives that I've been driving as part of the government has been the transfer of all of the regulation and supervision of financial services in Australia currently carried out by the states and territories, about 20% of our financial market, over the Commonwealth, the introduction of single standard and national regulation of all financial services products. That includes areas as diverse as margin lending, obviously important in the current context, given the share markets, credit cards, business investment, property investment, payday lending and matters of that type. Some of them particularly difficult to regulate and supervise. And when this process is completed by the end of next calendar year, I just make this observation in passing, part of the new regulatory supervisory structure in these areas will be very much focused on responsible and sustainable lending financial practices. As we develop the details of the new regulatory and supervisory framework, I look at some of the practices in respect to, say, payday lending or credit card selling. There are other examples that do concern and worry me. So there'll be a much greater focus as we complete the new financial services regulatory structure on sustainability and responsible lending. To be sustainable, businesses need to take a long-term view of the impact on the broader community, local, national, and the natural environment, as well as returns to investors. Business must be aware of the impact they have on society. Scrutiny and pressure is only going to increase, and therefore, so is the importance of managing its external impacts. Concerns about climate change, the pending introduction of carbon pollution reduction scheme, along with the impacts on business, on society and the environment in general, have increased the profile of sustainability issues in Australia dramatically, radically over the last two decades. One clear view of sustainable development is that it comprises three integrated areas: environmental sustainability, economic sustainability, and social sustainability. It's about being able to comprehend all three elements while still meeting the needs of the present generation without compromising those of the next. Corporate social responsibility is about business commitment to and responsibility towards such a goal of sustainable economic development. CSR is an issue whose time has come, and it's my opinion that developments in this area are not a short-term trend, but represent a fundamental shift in how we do business. CSR has continued to develop well beyond its philanthropic and community beginnings, and there is now a growing realisation that business cannot operate in a void insulated from people, community, and the society in which they seek success. It's not just how a business distributes its profits, and that's always going to be important, but how it goes about making the profit across the organisation. And this requires businesses to increasingly focus on a long-term view of their impacts on the wider community, environment, and embed CSR into the business process. The long-term success in running a business in today's complex economic environment and social landscape is increasingly dependent on extra financial sectors previously not considered and left off the traditional balance sheet. A company's approach to intellectual and human capital can have consequences for its reputation, its capacity to innovate, brands, and many other intangible assets, all of which are critical to value creation in today's modern economy. These and other issues, including industrial relations, supply chain management, human rights, environmental management systems, represent a growing number of extra financial factors that can drive a company's performance and valuation. These factors can have a direct impact on the short and long-term returns, and they can also have an impact through such mechanisms as reputation loss and customer satisfaction and loyalty. While some commentators have speculated that the financial crisis may slow down or halt CSR programs, I believe this not to be the case. Such views are driven by a misunderstanding of what CSR is all about. If anything, the current financial crisis should accelerate additional focus on CSR, not see a pullback. Companies may need to refocus their efforts and concentrate on the shared values between them and the wider community in which they operate. And I believe the current circumstances highlight the realities of CSR as an important means for companies to manage non-financial risk and to maximise their long-term value. The mainstreaming of CSR into management practice is central to maximising its contribution to business success and to greater sustainability goals. In providing a more holistic view of the business and its activities, CSR can stimulate better policies, decision-making and business practice, and stronger long-term profits. I'm a strong believer that companies which take a broader range of social and environmental factors into account when making decisions are more likely to grow long-term shareholder value. The Carbon Beta report by the strategic advisors Innovest, a research firm that's warned about the pending subprime crisis, now that's of course history, showed strong evidence in linking proactive corporate action with strong financial performance. Climate change has emerged as one of the great challenges we face. Climate change has shown that environmental issues have a direct economic impact and implications for business activity. It will see a complex range of issues impacting on companies and investors quite directly. And these issues will differ across sectors of the economy. And the government has recognised climate change as a priority for decisive action. Our future economic development will in part depend on today's response to climate change. The introduction of a broad-based carbon pollution reduction scheme in 2010 will set us on a path to reduce Australia's emissions at least cost, and it will provide real incentives and the regulatory and investment certainty needed to drive new and innovative ways to reduce carbon emissions. Harnessing the response from capital markets through the redirection of capital flows from high-emitting capital to low-emitting capital is a critical part of combating climate change. A recent article from the Energy Policy Journal predicts that the global carbon market will grow to some $10 trillion, comparable to the current size of the oil market. The International Energy Agency predicts that halving emissions by the mid-next century will require $45 trillion of investment. Australia has a competitive advantage. With its vast renewable energy sources, wind, solar, wave and geothermal, renewable energy presents a significant opportunity as the government delivers on its commitment to expand the renewable energy target to 20% by 2020. And we would expect these policies to be particularly appealing for investors who focus on returns over the long term. Under the CPRS, carbon exposure will become increasingly financially material to investors. Climate change and the development of carbon pricing presents a stark example of how extra financial factors, traditionally kept off the balance sheet, can become real challenges for business. Investors will need to manage this exposure and identify investments that will be best positioned in an increasingly carbon-constrained environment. The draft Garno Climate Change Review predicts that failure to mitigate greenhouse gas emissions could result in a lowering of Australia's gross domestic product by around 1% by 2025 and 4.8% by the year 2100. However, early action could reduce these risks and lower mitigation costs. Up to now, the wrong incentives in the market have driven climate change. If we're going to tackle this generational challenge, we need to harness the full power of the market. We need to plan now for the impacts of climate change and factor in the financial decisions and the investments we need to make. In response to the growing evidence of the materiality of these factors, global investors and asset managers are increasingly integrating a broader assessment of risk into their decision-making activities. And this has been accompanied by a broadening of the understanding of the fiduciary responsibilities of financial institutions. Australia's managed fund industry is one of the world's largest managed fund pools, with well over $1 trillion in funds. And this is expected, notwithstanding current market circumstances, to grow to $2.5 trillion by 2015. And the growth of the managed fund industry in Australia, almost uniquely, has been underpinned by Australia's compulsory superannuation system, which is now some 20 years old. Superannuation funds dominate the local funds management industry, with approximately 75% of managed funds. The very nature of superannuation investment is a long-term one. As more or less permanent holders of stock in Australia's largest listed companies, superannuation funds, perhaps more than any other group of investors, are placed to take advantage of long-term opportunities and are most exposed to long-term risks. And in fact, the regulatory framework that sets the parameters for superannuation fund decisions in this country, the Superannuation Industry Supervision Act, SIS, does require a long-term focus, diversification, long-term maximisation of returns commensurate with safety in the best interests of members. And in this country, again, relatively unique in the world, these decisions are exercised by trustees. There is a realisation within the industry that a range of environmental, social and governance issues pose a core investment risk with the potential to impact heavily on the long-term viability of investments. Trends for funds and global investors to incorporate a broader assessment of risk into their investment process have gathered pace. There is evidence in the uptake of the United Nations Principles for Responsible Investment, which has to date attracted more than 230 signatories with funds under management of over US $10 trillion. There are 66 Australian organisations and 8 international fund managers signatories to the UNPRI. Currently, they represent more than 30% of all funds under management. An understanding of the impacts that ESG factors can have on investment performance is critical for sustainable long-term economic growth. I note the Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees and the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors' joint submission to the Government Green Paper on the establishment of a CPRS states, quote, "As significant long-term owners of Australian companies, not-for-profit superannuation funds have a fiduciary obligation to address climate change risks, and that these should be addressed sooner rather than later." I'd also like to reinforce this point, adding that the consideration of ESG factors are so critical to the long-term financial success of superannuation assets that, in my view, it's an important part of the fiduciary responsibility of trustees, all trustees, and as such should be incorporated into the investment decision making process of these trustees. I cast my mind back. I was a trustee of superannuation funds 20 years ago. There's a very, very different attitude, set of decisions expected of trustees today compared to, say, 20 years ago. It is a world that is literally light years away for trustees. We're going to see this has evolved over time. It's evolved in part because trustees represent make decisions in the context of communities' attitudes, economic and social, and may have changed dramatically in the last 20 years. Trustees of superannuation funds in Australia have solid grounds for pursuing sustainable investment strategies, provided they are precisely formulated and carefully implemented, and they advance the purpose of the members' interests. It's great to see that institutional investors and fund managers are cooperating and allocating considerable resources to encourage investment research that considers the impact of non-traditional and non-financial issues, including climate change, on long-term company performance. A practical and powerful tool that superannuation funds are increasingly embracing to manage these issues and build on their investment decisions is to actively engage companies as a shareholder. Active ownership through shareholder resolutions, direct environment engagement strategies, and voting can value add to investment decisions and is critical for ensuring good oversight, governance of companies and their sustainable performance. One aspect that will need to be front and centre in the superannuation sector's consideration of climate change and other ESG-related risks and opportunities will be the need to take a long-term approach to investment decisions. It needs to be understood, and I've mentioned earlier, superannuation trustees are almost unique in our economic structure when compared to any other country, certainly by size and influence. They play a central role, if not the dominant role, in Australia's investment chain. How super trustees structure mandates will affect their ability to manage climate change and other long-term risk factors. And fund managers and analysts will need to be sufficiently encouraged to take this approach. The business needs to be aware that as concerned investors become increasingly discerning about these issues when selecting portfolios, this has the potential to impact considerably on a company's valuation and access to capital. Fund managers and trustees in seeking and valuing non-financial performance information will be a critical influence on sustainable business performance. Government believes that meaningful disclosure is critical to the development of socially and environmentally sustainable corporate behaviour. Transparency, accountability, disclosure are at the cornerstone of corporate governance and essential to the sustainable growth of capital markets. Companies reporting their sustainability risks and strategies for managing these risks provide valuable information to the market and broader community of the impact of their corporate activities. And reporting is also a powerful management tool critical for business to realise the potential of CSR. Through clear reporting on the strategies, performance and prospects that combines non-financial information with financial information, insight to a company's overall management can be gained. When non-financial information is combined with financial information, it provides a valuable insight to a company's overall management, future direction and strategy. While Australian corporate entities can and already do report on the environmental, social and governance issues as part of their annual reports, figures released by KPMG suggest that only 30% of the ASX 500 published a sustainability report in 2006. Now that was up by 5% on the previous year. Recent figures from a study by the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors showed that in 2007, 16% of the ASX 100 reported against recognised GRI. This is somewhat disappointing, however, when you compare it with the UK, 76%, and Japan, 80%. It is very pleasing that certain Australian companies, some 83 to date, including several that are represented here today, are moving beyond the regulatory requirement and are producing corporate responsibility reports using reporting frameworks such as the Global Reporting Initiative, the GRI. Yet despite the considerable investment in CSR by many companies, Australia's level of reporting on these issues is lagging behind international counterparts. While I am cognizant of the fact that quantity does not necessarily equate to quality, there is a clear need to improve the relevance and utility of reporting in an Australian context and to ensure incentives are there for all companies to report openly and comparatively. And it is clear to me that the true value of CSR crystallises around effective reporting. And reporting needs to provide the information investors and consumers seek and allows them to confidently compare the performance of different companies in a particular sector. It must be genuine, informative and forward-looking. It must be material and timely and address risks and opportunities in management. It should also include key performance indicators that link to strategy and facilitate comparisons. And it also needs to be objective and credible. For business to realise the potential benefits from developing non-financial indicators of performance, they need to link the measures to the strategic goals of the business, ensuring that they quantify what they purport to represent. Without adequate reporting, CSR risk becomes further and turns into, in some cases, nothing more than a marketing device. As part of the current Improving Corporate Reporting and Accountability project, I've asked Treasury to examine the options that might improve the disclosure of sustainability risks and the strategies companies have in place for managing these risks. The government is keen to develop, in close consultation with industry and stakeholders, suitable approaches to promote and improve the corporate responsibility reporting. We want to encourage responsible business practice and reporting of sustainability issues, but recognise the need for flexibility rather than the one-size-fits-all approach. We understand that it has a strategic role to play in encouraging the right conditions for sustainable business practice. And that sustainable and responsible businesses we need to recognise are integral to our future prosperity. I believe the role of government is creating an environment that first encourages, facilitates and promotes the integration of CSR into a company's business practices, and secondly opens these practices up to accountability and transparency. We recognise the extensive commitment to CSR by both large and small companies, and we don't want to stifle these innovative responses by dictating their responsibilities should be beyond the regulatory standards in which they operate. However, in recognising the importance of corporate responsibility, the government is considering a range of options to encourage and improve companies' engagement with the issue. Government accepts it must demonstrate some leadership in this area. That includes looking at its own behaviour in relation to the impacts of policies that impact on everyday activities in relation to sustainable future. And the Prime Minister announced in May an internal government examination of sustainability government operations, and there'll be some announcements in the near future about the government approach in this area. I'd like to reiterate that I see the development of socially and environmentally sustainable business practices as vital to our future prosperity, to our international competitiveness, and as such, it's high on my priorities. The government will be working in close consultation with industry and stakeholders to see further advances in this area. I'm keen to hear your views and ideas on possible approaches to promote and improve the integration of CSR into mainstream business practice, along with meaningful reporting as companies actually face the challenges of addressing your sustainability risks and responsibilities. As business leaders, you play an integral role in the sustainable economic development of Australia. Thank you very much.